The information and ideas provided within this show are intended for educational purposes only and not intended as investment advice. The hosts of this show do not provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your tax or legal professional regarding your individual situation. No information should be interpreted as securities advice. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, and investment professionals. While we have endeavored to ensure the accuracy of the information in this program, we do not guarantee or give any warranty as to the accuracy, timeliness, or completeness of any information. The process of buying and selling a business can be frightening for the parties involved. What paperwork is needed? What is the true market value of the business? How do you know what transactions are required to be processed in addition to the sale of the business? Welcome to Biz Broker Talk, where you'll find the answers to these questions and much more. Your hosts, Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding, have a decade of experience providing business broker services to large and small businesses. Today, they're ready to help you. Here's Robert and Doug.
Welcome to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and
Doug Scheiding.
Today, we're going to be visiting with Tom Raymond, a senior franchise specialist. Tom has been a franchisee, an area developer, consultant to several franchisees, and is now a franchise specialist to those looking to purchase a franchise. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Doing real well.
Great.
Want to kind of maybe just have you talk a little bit about your background before we move forward.
Sure. Well, again, I appreciate being on the call with you two today. I come from a 20-plus year background in franchising, from the restaurant on the retail side with a company called Schlotzky's Deli to a couple of stints with a home inspection industry franchisor, also with an IT outsourcing company in Austin, Texas, in addition to being a franchise specialist, helping working with hundreds of people around the country finding franchise businesses as well. I've been a franchise owner myself and what's called an area developer, where I developed a territory in southeastern Wisconsin where we put together a little over a dozen restaurants, including one of the ones we owned ourselves before selling it to an owner. So I've been around the block, have the gray hair to prove it. as I work with people that are looking at franchise businesses, there's not too much in terms of experience that I'm not able to share with them as they go through the process.
Well, perfect. We're glad that you're able to join us on the show today. So, as business brokers, obviously a resale of a business is the primary job function that we work with, and we represent the seller. So from the standpoint of another path or a different option, my perspective is, as a business broker, it's hard to switch the sides of the table when you're representing the seller. But as a franchise specialist and trying to find someone the right franchise, you're actually a partner with them through the process. So maybe you could kind of start off with, how it's another path instead of going out and buying an existing independent business.
Sure, and as we work together, it's not one path is right or one is wrong. It is different when you're looking at an existing business like you and Bob have and your listings. It's an existing business that's got existing cash flow, so it comes with a totally different opportunity, and oftentimes could be priced differently than a new startup franchise might be. So what I talk to people as I gear up to have them include franchising as a second option is that if they're truly interested in a business of their own, why not look at it as an option? Why not consider it? It may not be the right fit for them, and we can learn that through the process that I guide them through, but it may be very interesting to them, and it may be a path that perhaps becomes even more interesting than an existing business, because oftentimes what I've found in my experience is that people think franchising is all about just restaurants and retail, and as we talk further into the process, it's amazing the number of franchises that are out there that, as we get into discussions, that we can uncover that they may very well be a good fit for. So it really becomes a surprise to them to make that comparison, and I think it's a good way to compare and contrast two different types of business opportunities where they're going to be able to make a more well-defined decision and a better decision for them that really does work for them.
From the standpoint of a buyer, is there a typical buyer that may go one direction or another? Because franchising, we consider it as being in business for yourself, but not necessarily by yourself, because you're exactly. It's not independent.
Yeah, you're on your own, but you're not alone. It's also correct. Something that you hear said a lot.
Exactly.
I think it's a really good fit for corporate refugees because they're used to a process and a system.
Yeah, franchising is not for everybody. You're exactly right. For the true entrepreneur that wants to be the one that invents the wheel, franchising is probably not the right path for him, because franchising is all about the easiest analogy I can make is business in a box. If you take a cake mix and you follow the recipe, the chances are your cake's going to turn out pretty well. And in franchising, the same thing. They've got a process. They've got systems in place. They're not looking for people to come in and try to reinvent the wheel. They've already done that. They've made the mistakes for them. And so that's the advantage, the huge advantage of stepping into a franchise, is you don't have to make the mistakes. The people ahead of them have done that. So, again, it's not necessarily the right step for everybody, but those who are more interested in a business that's for sale, an existing business, typically I've found in my experience are going to be ones who are a little bit more nervous about stepping off the edge, stepping out of the corporate America and going into a business that they're now responsible for their income, and they're used to that income coming on a weekly or biweekly basis, and that risk just sometimes gets to them. And what brings to the table for that existing business is existing cash flow that they can step into, so they're not giving up quite as much when they step out of that job.
What are some of the resources that are available to a buyer?
Well, typically what I've seen, many people turn, obviously, to the Internet. The technology is out there when they start searching for franchise opportunities, and it can be very daunting, very challenging. There's online portals, there's various business opportunity sites, there's franchise websites. There's thousands of companies out there, and it oftentimes becomes very confusing on, what do I ask? How do I choose? What kind of questions should I ask these folks? What makes for a good franchise? So, again, in my experience, I think a more effective approach is to kind of take a pinpointed effort, more of a rifle versus a shotgun approach, and utilize the experience of a franchise specialist, somebody who's been around the industry that can help identify business characteristics that are important to you, identify business models that match up with the types of things that you want to do as a business owner. So it takes the guesswork out of it, and to be honest with you, with the thousands of opportunities out there online, an individual is just not going to be able to effectively get through that process very, very efficiently. The other resource that I think is very good, a very objective resource, is the International Franchise Association, the IFA. They've got lots of industry guidelines and information, education. So I would certainly point people in that direction as a starting place as well.
What do you think the value is? I know that a franchise specialist or consultant would provide to a potential buyer. I mean, it's a very stressful situation. It's trying to buy a business.
It can be, certainly, if you're not going about it in the right way. And oftentimes it comes down to those questions and the due diligence, the time that you're going to get to ask questions and having a clear understanding of what do I ask? What are the types of things that I need to know about? Because many people just haven't had the opportunity to look at a business on their own. They're real nervous, and they let the emotion, the fear, and the anxiety, which is certainly a part of the process, it's one that I think keeps people sharp and will keep them focused on asking the right questions. But if they've never done it before, I think an experienced professional can guide them through this process and help them understand what are some critical questions that they need to uncover, talk about different types of business models, talk about what the process that they should go through in order to gather all the facts so that they make a well-informed business decision and don't end up picking something that is purely based on emotion, because that can be a disaster.
Correct. And in one of our recent, I just referred someone to you, and I referred to you as a consultant and not a specialist, et cetera. Why don't you explain in terms of how you get paid as through the process, so that in the end it's really from the franchisor?
Absolutely. It's a painless process. You know, sometimes the word consultant means, oh, I've got to pay for this. And I use the analogy, it's like working with a realtor. Many people have bought homes and gone through that process, and a realtor shows them different selections that they're interested in. And if they end up buying one of those homes from that realtor gets paid by the seller. Well, the same type of scenario occurs when I work with clients, and that is, I'm going to work for you, the person who's looking at the franchise opportunity. We're going to go through a consultation, a summary review, and really uncover all the different types of characteristics that are important, the skill sets that you bring to the table, the types of business model that might be of interest to you. What are the types of customers that you want? Do you want to call on other businesses? Do you want to work with consumers? What are the investment parameters? What are you looking to achieve on the other side of the investment? And that means the return. What kind of income do you want to produce? So as I guide them through that process, it's not going to cost them anything up front other than some time. And the time is critical because that's the time that they're going to spend learning about themselves through this consultation process. And we uncover all the things that are important to them. And then taking that information, plugging it into my review of franchise opportunities to match them up with a few that really do match up very closely with what they're looking for. And again, if they end up choosing one of the franchise companies that I would show them, then that franchise will pay me. And it doesn't cost my clients any more because they're utilizing my services. So it's a win-win-win all the way around in this process.
On the buyer side, you know, I've always thought of it as a kind of a decision matrix. And the two things that I've always told buyers is, you know, do you want to buy an existing business or do you want to start a business? But either way, it's really going to depend on your business acumen, what you're good at and what you're not good at, and that understanding what the franchisor is bringing to the table for you. And the other thing is, what's your liquidity? How much money do you have to inject into the deal and what you expect to get out? I mean, that to me is kind of the basics that they have to know, and that's where working with someone that's been involved in the industry and knows the parameters of each of the players in the franchise world becomes a value.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, and that's something that you know, once we get through learning about what's important to them and understanding the client's financial parameters, then you can begin to really match up. It's kind of like you're not going to go buy a $500,000 house if you can only afford a $200,000 house. And so, therefore, in my experience and working with people, is we're going to define that both on the front end of what they can afford to invest, and, as you just mentioned, what am I going to get out of this? What kind of income do I want to produce? And we start to match those kind of details and those characteristics up in addition to business model, skill sets, what type of business, whether it's a product or a service. So we get into a lot of detail that oftentimes people don't even think about in terms of what it takes before they can really make a clear choice and a well-informed decision on what business, whether it be, you know, a franchise or even an existing business.
Well, in the opening, we talked a little bit about, you know, becoming a franchisee and some of your experience as being an area developer. Maybe we explain a little bit what an area developer means.
Sure. An area developer, what that basically means is I made an investment, had a couple of partners as well, in a much larger territory than a single unit operator owning a franchise would. So our role was kind of a sales role, if you will. We bought the rights to a significant territory, covered all of southeastern Wisconsin and also northern Michigan. And for those rights, our role was to introduce the concept, the franchise concept, to interested buyers around those areas, sit down and meet with them, introduce the concept in detail to them, go through a disclosure process, take them through an information sharing process, and ultimately guiding them to a yes-no decision, which this process is all about a yes-no decision. There's really nothing in between. It's either going to be, yeah, you like it, we're going to go forward, or no, it's not the right fit. So as a developer, our role was to guide them through that process, and if they did decide to choose our franchise, then they joined us. We shared in part of the franchise fee up front, and we shared in an ongoing royalty. And for that compensation, we also provided all their support on a local basis as they got their business location selected, as they got their location built, supported it with all the equipment that went into there, everything that from start to finish, and then ongoing support once they got their business open. So we were in the field, a support mechanism through and through. It really made for a nice relationship between us, the owner, the franchise owner, and the franchisor. So we were basically the field support.
Okay, so we've got about 3 minutes till break, Tom. Okay. But the area developer, is that usually for more of a startup or a younger type franchise, or as compared to an existing, you know, one that's been around a long while?
Typically, in my experience, is a more mature franchise business, although there are exceptions that some will start off and offer area development and selling those types of larger territories. But you know, for the most part, I've seen it in my 20-plus years, more of the mature companies doing it that way, is they've proven their system, their processes, they've got those down to a greater extent, and that way, when they kind of extend their reach through an area developer, out in the different parts of the country, they've got their systems more refined, and it makes more sense.
Okay, and an area development, I would presume, is more expensive than just buying one, you know, individual franchisee.
It is, yeah. Because you're buying the rights for multiple number of units that you're going to share the revenue stream on.
Are a lot of franchisors moving to the format where you buy multiple units so that you're not working in the business, you're working on it?
It depends on the business model. I would say it may be going the opposite approach in certain business models, doing single units at a time, letting them get some experience in that first year, hitting some benchmarks through that first year or so, and then allowing them to buy additional units after that so that they don't get themselves too diluted and spread too thin.
Okay, so that they're not really selling the 2, 3, 5 packs as much as they were, let's say, 4 or 5 years ago.
Not as much in my experience, although certain models, the haircutting business is like that. They still do that.
Okay.
Regarding the process, what's the kind of a time frame that you see in the general process from your perspective? We got about a minute.
Okay. It's not as long as most people think. A lot of people think, oh, it's going to take me 6 months or a year to go through this process, and it really doesn't. Good, well-organized franchise companies, you're going to look at about 4 to 6 weeks. It's a very detailed step-by-step process, so it really doesn't take that long. And again, it doesn't cost you anything other than time. So someone who's got more time on their hands, maybe they've left a corporate job and looking at a business, they've got plenty of time to go through it. But it really is not as long as most people think.
Very good. We've been speaking with Tom Raymond, Senior Franchise Specialist. And when we return, we're going to talk about evaluating the franchise business opportunity.
Comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, they have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process. Visit BizBrokerTalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com.
Are you ready for what happens next? If you have your investments, retirement planning, and business plans all in a row, you're probably set. But are you really all that sure? Listen to In Black and Whites with host Peter Whites. Peter and his guests will cover business and investment topics that you need to know about right now. Whether it's new technology, 401k plans, mergers and acquisitions, we're here to help you. In Black and Whites airs live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells
and Doug Scheiding.
Today we're visiting with Tom Raymond, Senior Franchise Consultant, and we have been talking about reducing the stress and tension of finding the right franchise opportunity. We're going to pick up where we left off about being a...
On the typical process of going through and finding the...
Timeline of the typical process. Then we're going to talk about evaluating the franchise business opportunity. Tom?
Maybe we can go into kind of a little more detail of what the typical process is of that four to 6 weeks.
Sure, absolutely. Well, to start off with, the process that I'll guide a client through is helping them understand and understand the expectation of what the franchisor is going to be taking them through so that they have a clear picture in that 4 to 6 week process that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. And so it's going to start off with a general overview of what that business is like in the first conversation, kind of a get-to-know-you conversation, and really get an understanding of, does this seem like it's something of interest to that prospect before they dive into a lot of detail. And then typically, once they've established that mutual interest, and this is a mutual evaluation that they're going to go through, it's got to be the right fit for both the prospective franchisee and the franchisor, because they're going to be entering in, if they do consummate a buy, they're going to be entering into a long-term relationship. So they want to do their due diligence very efficiently. So the franchisor will take them through their business model and how they actually operate, and details about what it takes to be a successful owner. And they'll share that information with them in the first call, typically. They may have a webinar, information that they'll share through a live webinar with them. And then typically they're then going to provide them with what's called the disclosure document, or a franchise disclosure document, or the acronym we use, SDD. And that document, because franchising is regulated by the Federal Trade Commission, is required by all franchise companies to provide during this process so that they fully disclose information to the prospect.
Now, didn't that item used to be called a UFOC, a Uniform Franchise
Offering
Circular?
Yeah.
And that changed, like, 3 or 4 years ago?
It did, yeah. It's a lot easier now. The acronym is much more user-friendly. But basically, it's the same type of a document that they used to have under the UFOC language. But it is soup to nuts, everything about that franchise that the prospect is going to want to see. And oftentimes it will include some financial disclosure, although the FTC does not require franchise companies to include this in what they call their earnings claim, or item 19, but many of the franchise companies do include that, so they get a chance to see some financial information as well. Once they get through that segment of the process and learning about the business, being disclosed, going through the FDD, they're going to learn about what the actual operation is. How do they make this business run? How do I market it? How do I get the phone to ring, depending on the type of business? They'll take them through that process, and once they've really got a clear understanding of all the different aspects of the business through this due diligence, and that may take, you know, 2, 3, 4 phone calls and some presentations, then they're going to know a whole lot more about the business, and they're prepared then to go into the most important part of this process, and that is calling and talking with, or having face-to-face meetings with existing franchise owners. That's what we call validation calls. And so they get a chance. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let's go back to the FDD for a minute. The FDD lays out, you know, who the other franchisees are. It lays out any lawsuits pending. It gives the good, the bad, and the ugly of the franchise, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's great information to know, and you know, oftentimes people that are looking at a business, sometimes they're afraid to learn all there is to learn, whether there is litigation involved in the business, or you know, there are people that didn't make it in the business. This document will show all of those things so that they can formulate you know, better questions about, well, how many people did fail. They can see that in the document. Let's talk about the reasons why they might have failed. So it allows them to formulate you know, questions that are really going to pinpoint things that they need to know and get comfortable with before they go to the next step.
And when they receive the FDD, they have to sign a piece of paper that they actually received it, and there's kind of like a period of time, what is it, 10 days, that they can't, you know, just automatically go and sign up and become a franchisee. Isn't there a waiting period?
There's built-in protections for the prospects favor that they can't just jump into this decision. So yes, they have to be disclosed with the FDD. They have to hold it for a period of 14 days, and they do sign what's called a receipt, and it doesn't bind them to anything. It merely confirms that indeed they were disclosed with the document, so that if a franchise company was ever audited by the FTC, they could show those receipts for prospects that went through their disclosure document and can prove that they actually did disclose them. So yeah, it's all very official. You know, when you get the government involved, and it's for good reason. It protects the potential buyers going through this process so that they have all the information that they're going to need.
Okay. So, well, I think you were getting into some of the validation type calls with, you know, some of the existing franchisees as kind of the next step in the process of evaluating a franchise.
Exactly. Yeah. It is the most critical, in my opinion, in terms of the steps in the process, because it's very unique. When you're looking at the example I use, when you're talking about an existing business that you may be buying, an independent business or what have you, you're going to get to check with one seller. And you're going to see one business. Well, franchising is very unique in that if you're dealing with a company that has 100 or 200 or 500 units open out there, then you're going to have the opportunity to talk to as many as you like. And if you want to talk to all 500, you could. That's probably not a practical way of doing it, but you may want to talk to 10 or 15 people. So you get a broad base of information in terms of being able to make your decision based on those that input that you get, what I call the in-the-trenches kind of information of, you know, what's it like being an owner? Well, you know, what was the training like? How's the support? Would you do it again? You know, what challenges have you faced? What challenges have they helped you through from the home office? How does all that work? So it's a great opportunity to put yourself almost right on the front line. And oftentimes franchise companies will allow you to go out and maybe do a ride-along with an existing owner and kind of see what a day-to-day type operation looks like before you make that decision. So, yeah, it's very, very important part of the process.
Now, as a prospective buyer of a franchise, are you going to call just the ones that are recommended, or are you going to just, you know, or start calling some of the other ones that might be listed in there?
Well, a franchisor is not allowed to what we call steer you to just the top producers.
You know,
you might
think
that's the way it's going to go, but that's not something that's fair play. But certainly if a prospect, a potential buyer, asks the franchisor, hey, can you put me in touch with somebody who's only been in the business for 6 months, or put me in touch with somebody who has a similar background to me, or put me in touch with somebody whose market is going to be or is similar to the one I'm looking at. Those kind of questions can have the franchisor then put together a list of those particular owners that the buyer prospect wants to talk to. But they can really pick up the phone and call anybody on that list, and they should take both. You know, take a list of people maybe that they request from the franchisor and kind of randomly pick. That's my recommendation. It gives them a good cross-section then.
Is that done before or after Discovery Day?
That's done before. so that you've got a good, clear understanding of what the business is like from an inside-out perspective, and then going to either what they call Discovery Day, or some companies call it Meet the Team Day, but it's a day that you will go and spend, and it's really the culmination of the process. Once you're through all the information gathering, once you're through the validation calls or meetings, is the last step is going to sit eye-to-eye with the franchisor, meeting all the different teams of marketing and training and operations and support and IT, the executive team, and really looking them in the eye and then looking you in the eye and making the final decision. Is this the type of group and culture that I want to align myself with? And the same thing on their side of the table, is that, is this really the type of new owner that we want to put into business with us? And if that comes together, which it should after all that due diligence, then you've got a win-win situation.
As a prospective franchise buyer, it would seem that you're kind of evaluating multiple franchises at the same time. So you might follow this process with several.
Exactly. And I think that's the beauty of what someone like myself in helping somebody select a franchise brings to the table, is that there's real value in comparing and contrasting maybe three or four different business models at the same time between each other. Because what you get a chance to do is there's kind of a natural funneling process that occurs as you go through and evaluate each. You're going to see different characteristics that are important to you that maybe two or three are missing from one of the four that perhaps you're looking at. Well, that's a good reason, a good solid business reason then to drop them out of your evaluation. Now maybe you're down to three. You go a little further into the process, maybe you uncover that, oops, they're missing another couple of characteristics that you really would like to see in a business. You drop that one, another good reason, now you're down to two. So it's a natural way of, I'd say, very effectively and efficiently evaluating three or four businesses at the same time. It does seem like it's overwhelming initially, and I tell that to the clients I work with, that they may seem a little overwhelmed at first, but it will naturally kind of fall out as you go through the process. And that's the real beauty of it, is that you get that chance to narrow it down to really find something that just hits you right between the eyes and really meets all the different characteristics you're looking for.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we talked about really once they've kind of narrowed down and picked a franchise, maybe we can kind of take a step back and look at what some of the initial steps are when someone calls you on, you know, in your first call. You know, you set up the time to speak to them, they fill out the profile, the three concepts, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah, initially, if someone's referred to me, my first phone call is typically 15 or 20 minutes, and it's what I call a kind of get-to-know-you conversation to see how the chemistry is, explain what I do, how I do it, make sure they understand that there's no cost to them, lay out the process that I would guide them through, and make sure that they have a clear understanding of it and that they're committed to it, because I want them to be working well within the process, utilizing their time and my time effectively. And if the process isn't something they're comfortable with, we'll know it in that first call. So 15 or 20 minutes to get started. If they do like what they hear and they like the process that I'm going to guide them through, then the first real action step for them beyond that call is they'll fill out a very, very simple questionnaire, take them about 20 minutes is all, and get that back to me. It's some basic questions that helps me to learn a little bit more about them. It helps me formulate questions that I'll ask them. And it also has some very basic financial information that helps define some of the parameters around what types of businesses they may be able to afford. And so once that questionnaire is back, then we're going to set up that consultative summary-type gathering of information call that we'll spend, you know, anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours perhaps on the phone, really digging deep into, you know, skill sets and personalities and what they like and dislike, business models that have attracted them. So we'll ask a lot of questions, probably deeper than they thought they might go in looking at a business.
And on the profile, I mean, you know, one of the initial hurdles for any franchise to qualify is kind of the net worth and liquidity and cash after the purchase from a working capital standpoint.
It is.
I like it a lot to, like,
financing or refinancing a home, you got to pull basically the same information together, personal financial statement.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah, we don't, in my questionnaire, don't ask for, you know, account numbers or social or anything like that. So try to make it real simple for them, looking at assets and liabilities. Liquidity is certainly something. And net worth is a little bit of a misnomer because, you know, it may be tied up in real estate. And if they're in a poor area where the real estate's just not going to sell, well, that may not be worth much. So liquidity, whether it be cash or securities that can be converted, or, you know, there's retirement financing as well that many people aren't aware of, the different resources that we have to utilize 401k or IRA monies without penalties, that are one of the most common ways of investing in franchises these days, has been over the last several years.
Yeah, we actually had a show on that and spoke about Benetrends as one of the options.
With their
Rainmaker program. So,
exactly.
And typically a franchise buyer or prospect is, you know, just like with buying an existing business, it's really about lifestyle.
Exactly. That's a big topic that we discuss, is that it's interesting listening to the show before this one. One of the guests on said, you know, success is not measured by possessions or money. And it's really all about, you know, what is the business that's going to give you the best lifestyle? And it's not about the money. It's about the overall perspective that you have, and what do you want to achieve with this business beyond the financial side of it. Is, you know, do you have family? Do you need to spend time? Do you want the flexibility to be able to go to kids' games or activities or whatever it might be? So we dive into that, too, because not all businesses are going to provide you that flexibility. And so you have to be clear and understanding exactly what the business model is going to require so that it does match up with exactly with that lifestyle.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes till break, but as part of that, you know, after they fill out the profile, then do you come back with just one concept or three concepts or 10?
No, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's thousands of franchises out there that people can find on different portals on the internet that is just too confusing. So what I try to do is find at least three or four, because that's a manageable number I found in my experience, and doesn't overwhelm people to evaluate them, and really pinpoint down to those three or four matching up very, very nicely with what we've talked about, what we've gathered in terms of information, and then introduce each of those concepts to my clients so that they have a clear understanding of what they are. And what I try to encourage people to do is remove what I call preconceived notions about any business. Take the widget out of it. Take all those notions that, oh gosh, you can't make any money at this, or, you know, don't know about that, because they really don't know the business. Until we dive into it, until they do their due diligence and ask questions, if they make that choice to say, I don't want to talk to that company, they may be missing something. And it's phenomenal over the last 20 years or so that I've introduced businesses to people that they may have never heard of, didn't even know they were in franchising, and all of a sudden found that, wow, unbelievable. I never thought I would have matched up nicely with that business, and end up choosing one that, you know, just surprised the heck out of them.
Right. Well, we've been talking with Tom Raymond, senior franchise specialist, and when we come back, we're going to talk about taking action, preparing yourself to move forward with buying a franchise.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Business brokerage is a very regional business due to the requirement of having face-to-face buyer and seller meetings. While Robert and Doug are regionally centric to South Central Texas with their brokerage company, Business Brokers of San Antonio, and their equipment appraisal company, Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio, they have also established BizBrokerTalk.com to help assist sellers and buyers with finding professionals in a variety of areas required in the business transaction process. This includes certified business brokers, SBA loan packagers, 401k conversion companies, lenders, as well as other necessary advisory sources. Whether you're selling or buying a business, you need a team of professionals on your side to guide you through the process.
visit bizbrokertalk.com today. And if you're in the South Texas area, please visit Business Brokers of San Antonio at bbofsa.com or Equipment Appraisers of San Antonio at eaofsa.com.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
This is Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells and Doug Scheiding. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or you may send an email to podcast@bizbrokertalk.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Biz Broker Talk with Robert Howells
and Doug Scheiding.
If you have questions, please email them in to bizbrokertalk.com. That's bizbrokertalk.com.
Podcast.
Today we're visiting with Tom Raymond. He's a senior franchise specialist. And in this segment, we're going to talk about taking action, how to move forward once you have done your review. I'd like to take one step back, Tom, and kind of talk about the family as part of the decision-making process. Obviously, mainly what you're dealing with, it sounds like, is a lot of corporate refugees. And going on to purchase a business, be it a franchise or an independent that we normally deal with, whether it's a startup or an origination or an existing unit, it's a lifestyle change. And so how do you involve the family in the process?
Great question. I mean, it's absolutely important. And as I talk to mostly the guys that are coming out of corporate America or others that are just making a change, I tease them a little bit. I tell them, you know, as macho as us guys think we are, we don't make these decisions alone. And I do require that at some point in the process that their spouse be involved in at least some or all of one call, because I want them to have the opportunity to ask me questions, be involved in the process, because I know they're going to be critical and helping make that decision, because they're a team. And so absolutely, I think it's important to get the spouse involved. Whether I'm talking to the husband or the wife initially, I'm going to make sure the other is involved at some point during the process for sure.
And let's talk a little bit about Discovery Day. I mean, or meet the team or whatever the franchise owners like to call it. Can you talk a little bit about what all that entails, travel and time?
Sure. Usually it's just a day in their office, and typically the candidate will fly in the day before or the afternoon or evening before. Depending on the franchise, they may cover all the expenses. Some may cover just when they arrive at the host city. They'll cover hotel and meals and to and from the airport, and the buyer prospect will pay their flight. So it really just depends on the individual franchisor and their policies. But, the day is chock full of information where the candidate is going to get to meet every one of the groups, like I mentioned earlier, marketing, training, operations, support, IT, the executive team. They're going to get to sit down with them in a different segment every hour or so to learn about more about the home office, how they actually work side by side together. You know, they've learned about this on the call with the franchise development person with that organization through the process. Now they're actually going to get to meet and see the people that will be supporting them on a day-to-day basis. So it's very powerful. It's very informative. Again, most of the questions are going to already have been answered. And this is just kind of a culmination. So that day is not about a huge amount of questions. It's really about seeing the people that are actually going to support you.
And after they come back from that discovery day, what's the next step in the process? Is it training, signing the agreement?
Well, again, it depends on the franchisor. Some companies will sign and prepare the buyer prospect to sign while they're there at Meet the Team Day. If they feel confident enough in their decision mutually, they can sign while they're there. Oftentimes, they'll give them two or three days afterwards after they leave the Meet the Team Day or the Discovery Day and sign a franchise agreement if they're going to move forward a few days afterwards. Once that agreement is signed is when they will start the training process. There's typically going to be some pre-training work that needs to be done, preparation, administrative stuff of getting your business set up, your entity set up, you know, phone lines, fax lines, insurance in place, lots of different things, and usually the franchisor has a very well-defined checklist, so you don't have to remember all this stuff, and you just go through and check off the boxes as you complete these things. And it's really important for buyers to make sure they do complete this list to its entirety, because you want to have everything done before you go to training, because then once you're done with training, it's coming home and the business actually gets started. You don't want to have to, you know, do a bunch of things once you're done with training that you maybe missed on that checklist. And oftentimes, franchise companies will make sure you complete those before they actually get you into training.
And some franchises have real estate consultants, or, you know, if it's a new origination type situation, you know, where to put the franchise location, and not just for the buyer to decide that.
Exactly. It depends on the business model. If it's a retail operation where you're going to need a site, and dependent on what type of retail, if it's a business that, say, for example, needs what I call A-plus type real estate on the corner of Main and Main, then absolutely they're going to need some assistance, and franchise companies will provide that assistance to find that location. And that will slow down the time from signing the franchise agreement till the time they actually open, because depending on the type of business, it might take a few months to find that proper location. If it's a service business, perhaps, that's home-based, to start, then certainly you can get started much more quickly.
But some franchisors already have locations sought out and looking for franchisees to fill too.
They do. Yep. Some will have predefined locations that are ready to go, and some go through a process of taking on independent businesses in a local market and converting them. And putting new franchise owners into those. So, yeah, it really depends on the franchisor and their strategy with regard to how they open new units. So the longest end of the spectrum is got to find a brand new site, maybe even have to build a building. You know, second would be finding a site that's existing. And then third, you know, maybe a home-based business that you can start out of your home.
You know, I think a couple items have come up here. One of them is that startup versus you know, originating a franchise versus buying an existing one. We as brokers, we mainly deal with existing businesses where you have some history. And I know in a minute we're going to talk about, after we talk about training, we're going to talk about financing, but it's always amazing to me that it's easier to get financing on a startup franchise than it is, in many cases, than it is an existing one. And I just like the fact that if you have a franchise that, you know, sometimes you have the ability to know how it's performed, but in the other cases, it's a lot better deal to get a startup, originate a new franchise.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it depends on the type of business model it is. Are there going to be assets that the lender can attach themselves to, or is it one that doesn't have a lot of assets? You know, the financing landscape has certainly changed since the 2008 crash, so we're dealing with a lot of that residue of what happened back then. So it certainly is much different, but you know, those who are solid in their credit, have good you know, financials that can show the bank, still can get loans. The SBA programs are out there. They're really ramping up again, and they're available to even new startups that don't have a lot of assets to tie to. But you know, and the flip side of that is, I was just working with somebody that's doing a resale, and they were able to secure an SBA loan as well, and it's moving fairly nicely through the process. So we're starting to see, in, at least in my experience, some shift and some improvement in the financial landscape, but it certainly has changed in the last 5-6 years.
Well, let's talk about training. I mean, we
spoken a couple weeks ago about training on the franchisor side. Some of them require some extensive training, up to, you know, 2-3 months, and some are several weeks with on hands in your facility if it's a brick and mortar style.
Sure. Yeah, again, it will vary depending on the type of business. You take the extreme, McDonald's is a good example that, you know, you're going to spend a year in preparation at least.
Wow.
Burger U before you ever get to your first location, and a lot of liquidity to get that business started. So that's the extreme end, and then you've got others that you might go through, a couple of 1 or 2 weeks on-site training at the home office. But oftentimes you've got, as I mentioned earlier, some pre-training activities that you can do, with the internet access now and technology. You can do a lot of things before you ever get to that home office training, where you can do things online. They've got online training capacity that you can prepare yourself before you ever arrive on site. And then typically you'll have some, after you leave the home office training, you'll have some field training before you actually pull the trigger and get your business started.
And the training is covered in the franchise fee that's paid when you sign the agreement, and you just have to pay for your expenses typically?
Yes, typically that's the case. You'll pay for your flight in if you're flying into the home office, your hotel and meals, but yet everything else is typically covered in your initial franchise agreement, so you're not having to put out a lot of additional dollars for that.
And if it's a resale, then typically they charge a transfer fee, right? If you're buying an existing business, there's a transfer fee, and then that usually covers the cost of the training as well.
Well, the transfer fee is usually the responsibility of the selling franchise owner. Of course, anything is negotiable in the transaction where a buyer is buying an existing business, and in most cases the seller is going to build that transfer fee that they owe by contract to the franchisor. They'll build that into their sales price. So it's kind of a zero netted effect. But yes, there is a transfer fee that's required, and that can range from zero to something fairly significant. It depends on the franchisor.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes till close, but I'll say, as a broker, I don't know if I've met a seller yet that wants to pay that transfer fee, unless it's in the franchise agreement.
No, they don't necessarily want to pay it, but most franchise agreements I've seen, it's the responsibility of the seller to pay it, but they're going to, again, build that into their sales price.
So let's talk, use the remaining time and talk about financing. I mean, some franchisors already have been pre-qualified with some lenders that they have sourced. Other ones are going to have to, the buyer's going to have to find funding. Let's talk about funding the transaction.
Sure. Yeah, you're exactly right. The some franchise companies have strong relationships with lenders that they can plug prospective buyers into. We as franchise specialists around the industry, there's a number of, you mentioned one, Doug, Benetrends is one that is out there doing a lot of 401k and IRA rollover funding. There's other resources as well. So there's a number of different avenues that buyers, prospective buyers, can research, and certainly that's something I help them with. I've worked with a number of these companies for many years. They're very, very good. They do a good job at it. They provide compliance letters for IRS requirements, so they're on the up and up. And again, a lot of people just don't know about these, and so working with an experienced individual that can uncover these for them opens up a whole lot more opportunity for people who are looking for a business of their own.
What about the SBA tracking the success rate of loans in via franchise? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the SBA isn't a lender. A lot of people think that's where the money is coming from. They're actually backing the loans. It's a government program that backs those. And again, it's changed immensely over the last several years, but banks are certainly more comfortable having the SBA backing a loan. They make the ultimate decision whether or not to lend to a prospective buyer. So certainly having that SBA program now more active is a huge plus for both the banks and prospective buyers. And it doesn't necessarily mean, the buyer, the new owner, is going to be more successful or not. It really comes down to their commitment and their following the system and
being committed to the business and going out and working it hard. It's hard work. It's not easy. If it was, everybody would be doing it, but it still takes a strong effort by the individual to make this business successful.
Certainly. But doesn't the SBA track the failure and success rate of loans that they have backed? And that's also a source that the banks look at how successful prior loans have been in that franchise.
Absolutely. And you can look at that. The IFA is a good resource for looking at the success rates in certain business types, certain industries. And that data is out there that you can look at pretty easily going to the SBA sites. Or again, the IFA has information on that as well. So you can start to measure what industries maybe are having the better success rates. Service businesses are very strong right now. Just to give you an example of somebody that would ask me, hey, what business would you think would be a high success rate? And home-based services businesses are very, very strong, have been for many years.
Okay. Well, very good, Tom. We've got just about a minute left. What I'd like to do is provide your contact information. Tom Raymond's a senior franchise specialist with TWRFC LLC Franchise Consulting, and he can be reached at 231-638-5588. That's 231-638-5588, or via email at traymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D-1, at yahoo.com. Next week, we'll be speaking with Darren Mize, discussing business valuations. Thank you for your time, Tom.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining us today for Biz Broker Talk. Please join Robert and Doug again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. After today's show, we hope you are one step closer to a successful sale of your business.